Hello everyone and welcome back to the promised extra show. It's Monday the 15th of December, 10 days from Santa's visit. And as we said last week, we'll do a bit of a catch-up because we've got loads of stuff that we keep missing out on and not covering. And, some people you might want to switch off or jump forward through different bits of it if it doesn't interest you, obviously. But bear with us because we think it's interesting. So there. Hello, Joe.
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm all right. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm excited for Santa. Like you mentioned him.
That's nice. Do you know what he's? What did you put on your list?
Oh, I'm on the naughty list, so I know I'm not going to get anything. But Saoirse will.
Right. Yeah. Well, it is for her, really. So
yeah.
As they always say, as we always say. Show 876, and if you want to be on one of our PSC shows as a guest, do let us know because we can scoop you in. We've signed up your mate Sam Ventimiglia. I can't say it. Ventimiglia. Sam Ventimiglia. Yeah. So Sam's coming on March the 2nd. That was the next available slot. But as I say, if someone wants to come in between times, we can always do an extra show, can't we?
Yeah, of course we can, yeah.
No We're problem. Very flexible indeed. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website where you'll find links to all the stuff we're going to talk about today. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find everything else we do. Podhub UK as well, of course, which is still run by Steve Litchfield. Thank you to Steve. And also we have our lovely MeWe group where we scoop up stuff that is topical and stuff that people are talking about. We've got 700 members there, and actually I noticed this week that we had our birthday on MeWe. So when we were on Google Plus, they booted us out, they shut Google Plus down, we had to find a new home. So I went on the search and we roped in a few people to try and find a new home for our group, our club, or whatever you want to call it. We landed on MeWe. And I think personally, it's 7 years ago this week that we did that. And it's still going. As I say, 700 members in the main PSC group. And I think that generally it's been a success. And if I had my time again, I do think that I would probably do the same. MeWe is not perfect, far from perfect. And we're always whinging about this, that and the other with MeWe. But I think on balance, it's quite nice. And I quite like the fact that it's a lockdown club and it's not open URLs for everyone to just kind of spoil by leaping in uninvited. I just quite like the way it runs. Do you?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed it. I really love the sense of community we've got there. And like you say, we do moan, but I think no matter what platform we're on, we'd find things to moan about. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's been great.
Cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say a massive thank you to the community, actually. You have helped it keep it going, and especially you, Ted, as you're always keeping it updated with the latest news for us to converse over. So thank you, Ted.
Yeah, thank you for the appreciation. It's kind of a full-time job for me, really. Well, it's not really a job, but I don't have a job, and I've got elderly parents to look after, and the demands of my time from the one remaining parent now is, you know, up and down, and sometimes I've got loads of time, sometimes I've got none. To be honest, most of the stuff that I link through to the group for discussion, people can find elsewhere. It's just that I suppose I do a collection job on it and channel it into our community, which, you know, not a huge amount of other people just do that. But yeah, it's nothing new, and most of it is not creative stuff by me. It's just, as you say, discussion points and stuff to natter about to bring that sense of community that you mentioned.
Yeah, you're like a tech AI bringing all the news together for us.
Yeah. We had some comments after the last show, last week's show with Gab, didn't we?
Yeah, some very positive ones. Jim Fowl said, great show. Good to hear Gav's insight on Garmin and health. I was engrossed and didn't realise the time as I thought we were cutting the show short. I totally agree with Gav on Garmin front. I haven't swapped mine since getting it. When I was on the show, I said I was going to revert to Apple Watch for our trip, but I didn't in the end. So, yeah, he's a big fan of Garmin.
Yeah, yeah, seems to be quite popular. I did ask people what they thought about handing the show over to the guest and having pretty much no other demands from you or I, but nobody commented at all on that in the group, I don't think, even though I said, you know, was this a good idea or a bad idea, or did you like it or not? Not a titter. So no. Hopefully people did like what we did and changed the format slightly. Godfrey Lisk said, it was great to hear from Gav on his patient journey and his insights on Garmin and Xiaomi 15 Ultra. Wishing him continued progress, says Godfrey. Your story is indeed a good illustration of how tech can be a life-changing benefit. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that was a key point that for me that was interesting, the tech side with it, the recovery. Zane Shahid said, the show was excellent. As always, Ted and Joe have been exceptional.
Yay.
Very nice of him. Yay. Well, you can say that as much as you like. I like to hear that. it was always a pleasure to hear Gavin's insights, and his long-term perspective of the Xiaomi 15 Ultra was particularly engaging. I wish him continued success on his recovery.
Irfan Ali says, great listen. I too swear by Garmin Epix Gen 2. No other watch comes close, and as Gav said, you can get them cheap. I got mine boxed like new for £200 from Cash Converters, of all places. Of course, other places are available too, and also some of them pop up on our PSC classifiers. So thanks, Irfan.
Yeah. I've seen a few on there, actually. I've been tempted in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone was a fan of Garmin, or at least thinks the Apple Watch Ultra is better. Keith Chant says, however, disagrees with the Garmin is better than Apple Ultra Watch, saying the following, an interesting listen, thanks. Since Apple Watch Ultra came out, yeah. I've had Garmin on one wrist and an Apple Watch Ultra on the other. Personally, I'm not sure that Garmin gives me anything that Apple Watch Ultra doesn't anymore, but I'm many years of hitting my 11k steps on a day on my Garmin and don't want to lose that.
Right.
And whatever else anyone else says, Apple Watch Ultra records pool swimming better than Garmin. So that was an interesting comment about the pool swimming.
So you can't get the data out of the, hang on a minute, the steps data on the Garmin, he can't get it out. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he thinks pool swimming is better on the Apple Watch Ultra.
Right, okay.
But he's keeping the Garmin purely because he's been hitting 11k steps a day.
Yeah, cool. But anyway, thanks very much for your lovely feedback and comments, everyone. We did have some negative feedback, which was that Darth Vader was on the last show with us. I'm not sure that it was quite that bad, but we will take it on board and do our best to keep breathing off the mic. Yeah, one person did say that when I wasn't talking, they could hear me breathing. And I tried to move the microphone a bit away from me, but it's very difficult. I went off and asked two or three other people, and they said that they didn't think it was really much of an issue. But maybe it is. We'll keep an eye on it. But thanks very much for your feedback, whether negative or positive. We're sure that it's all very constructive.
Yeah, we always take it on board. We are only mere humans, though, and we're very live with little editing. Oh, how do you know?
Yeah. In fact, no editing.
Yeah.
Just about managed to get the music at the beginning and end, and actually a lot.
That does the job, doesn't it?
So no guest gala this week, of course, but I do have an app wrap, which I have mentioned before. And at the risk of banging on about being a motivator again, I put the always on display XPath by AOD Link onto the H60 Pro. And it really does continue to impress. I put the post into the MeWe group as well, so people can see that and you can see it there. And you see, unlike some Moto phones, it doesn't interfere badly with Moto's own peak display. So the peak display sits behind this always-on display, and you just have to double-tap the screen to dismiss this always-on display and then just use the phone as normal. So you then get through to the peak display. Or if you want to turn the peak display off, you can turn it off, I suppose. But the good thing about the always-on display XPath is that there are literally more than 1,001 different settings in the app to enable you to set it up pretty much as you like on an Android phone, and 1,001,001 different ways, including full screen splash play paper, like it's become popular with Sammy and iPhone and others, if you want to use your battery in that way. Here I've set it up in my screenshots here to look a bit like Nothing OS, so it's got the kind of dot matrix thing going on, but that's just one example, and there's loads and loads of the of examples of how you can use it and what you do with it. It does take a hit on the battery. It's not dreadful and terrible, but it does, and I think that probably my estimate is like 5 to 10% per hour, but it depends, because in XPath you can also set the brightness to its own setting, so you can put it down to 50% or 25% or whatever you want to do, and if you do that you can obviously play around with it in terms of the battery. The Edge 60 Pro has already got a really good battery, so that doesn't really matter that much. I found that it's worked really, really well, and when I'm using my Moto Watch Fit, which we'll come to later, it all works really nicely. So it's a good solution, I think. Have you ever played with that?
No, but I like the sound of the way it functions, like as a layer over the top. And I do rather like the look of the Nothing OS one you've got here there, Ted. Definitely appropriate with what we'll be discussing later on.
Yeah, definitely.
And
I'll come to the Edge 60 Pro a bit later on, because I have got some negative things to say about it as well, now that it's just got its Android 16 update. But in the meantime, let's head to the news, shall we?
Yeah, there's a lot of news, because we didn't go for any news last week, did
no,
we?
No.
So there's a Honor Magic 8 Lite teaser, which I did on my channel. But I've also done a longer video as well now on that Magic 8 Lite, so check that out. It's a very interesting device, actually. It's got a rather large battery, 7,500 milliamp hour battery. It's got industry first on the durability, so it's an IP68-69K water and dust resistance. So it can be dropped up to 2.5 meters, they say, on certain surfaces. You can
use it as a chopping board.
You can use it as a chopping board, yeah. In my video, you'll see it, a staple gun going into it.
Oh, yeah.
Not really having much effect.
Ooh.
I'll mention it now. My friend, Paul Geeky Stuff, he, in his video, he froze the phone and then took it outside from about 2 meters, dropped it on concrete, and it was perfectly fine. That's quite interesting to watch.
I wonder why they've specifically gone in for that kind of performance, that kind of protection from what really is a bit of a mid-ranger, isn't it? It's not anywhere like the flagship.
No, because it's a Snapdragon 6 Gen 4 chipset, so it's a rather lower-end chipset. Interestingly, though, that is quite a bump from the 6 Gen 1 on the Magic 6 and Magic 7 lights.
Right.
The camera's a bit mediocre. The main lens is okay, 108 megapixel main lens, but the 5 megapixel ultrawide is pants in anything but good light. I don't know, mate. I guess it's a unique selling point, having a very durable, cheaper phone. If you think certain people will be looking for that, like builders and and they don't have to buy a big old rugged case, and they can just have the phone naked, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. But it's certainly interesting seeing the staple gun and last year's one using it as a chopping board. It's like, you can't be doing that to this screen, surely. After you finished doing that, there was absolutely no sign of the staples on it at all.
No. I mean, it does have a pre-applied screen protector, though, to be fair, which gives it a bit of protection as well. But yeah, it looked fine.
Wow.
Quite impressive.
We got any idea on pricing yet?
They haven't confirmed, but I suspect it's going to be $399 like the Magic 7 Lite was.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a very reasonable price.
Cool. Yeah, very good.
What you get.
Good for Honor.
Yeah, definitely. This next one is very exciting for me. The Motorola Edge 70 Ultra.
Oh, yeah.
Comes into view of its first leaked image. I really want to see this happen because I want a flagship Moto, other than the Razr, of course, because I want to see more flagship cameras on there. But what interests me is the potential for a stylus support. Because I do like a stylus. I don't use it loads, but I like having the option, and that is very flagship. Gunning for the S26 Ultra, it seems.
Yeah, as well as the Moto G Power 2026, according to the GSM Rain report, it is all kind of a bit, you know, no one seems to be terribly sure that it's absolutely in the bag yet. What would be interesting is if the Edge 70 Ultra does have a stylus of some sort, as to whether it's a smart stylus and if it's got a silo in the phone, or whether it's just going to be a dumb one. Because up until now, I mean, I've got the G Stylus 2024, and the stylus goes inside of it. And to be fair, it's perfectly all right. It works fine. It's just that it is in no way smart. It's just, you know, you might as well use your finger really on the screen. It's just like a convenience thing. I think it depends, if it does come, how smart it is.
Yeah, and whether it can be siloed inside or not. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Would be for it to truly compete.
Last, the Edge 50 Ultra first came on the market at £1,049, I think. So I suppose we've got to be expecting that kind of territory, haven't we?
Yeah, I suspect so. But if it's got the specs it's touted to have, it probably will be worth that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There's more Motorola news, though, isn't there? They're teasing a foldable. This one's very exciting because it looks like a passport, sort of, if the picture is the actual item. I did notice there's like a charger in the picture. So what they're holding is something that needs charging.
Okay.
And it says every fold reveals a possibility on it.
I was watching Shane Craig's video. He was looking at the possibility of Samsung coming out with a passport size thing, and also reviewing the fact that Wise Money is on Apple doing the same this year as well. And I was so enthused about this again that I got out my Pixel Fold. I started using it again for this the last few days, and it's such a lovely form factor. It really is.
It is.
It just seems to be, well, just right in almost every way in terms of form. But I don't know. Do you know anything more about it? Or
no, I haven't heard anything. I kind of feel like we should send some emails and see if we can get any. They probably won't give us anything, but we can always try, can't we?
They don't seem to know, do they?
But there's a little card as well that says we're getting ready to unfold new perspectives at Lenovo Tech World, and that's January 6th. So it's not long. Yeah.
That's inside CES, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
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 So, it'll be interesting to see. That wooden thing that they sent out certainly looked intriguing. I think it's going to be. I think that they're after, you know, the Huawei Pura X territory and the Pixel Fold and whatever Apple are doing. And probably, as Shane suggested, wanting to get there before Apple do, which Motorola have been quite good at in the past, getting there first with stuff.
Yeah. Another thing is I nearly bought Brendan's Pure X when that was on MeWe classified.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do like that sort of form factor. I love the V3 and the V5, so I'm all about the foldables now as well. So, yeah, let's watch this space.
Yeah, good.
The next one is very interesting. I think it's going to be a lot of phone for your money, and that's the OnePlus 15R. It's touted to have an 8,300 mAh battery. It's based off the A6, is it? Well, I got that right.
Off the what?
The A6T. Yeah, it's basically a global rebrand.
Oh, right,
of the upcoming, yeah, OnePlus A6T.
The
Snapdragon 8 Gen 5.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I've never heard of it myself, but
it's a Japan thing, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, because we get the R versions, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got a larger battery than the OnePlus 15 itself. It's got 8 Gen 5. It's got 100 watt charging, 1.5K, 165 hertz display. Extensive IP rating, it says. It's going to launch on Android 16 with Oxygen 16. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for your money because it'll be cheaper than the 15, which isn't extortionate price. So, yeah, I guess the only thing it'll be a major downgrade from the 15 would be the battery, I guess. No, not the battery, I mean the cameras.
Yeah, the cameras. That's what they're saying,
yeah, the cameras.
Isn't it? Yeah.
The battery is a positive, rather. Yeah, yeah, I think for a lot of people where the cameras aren't that important, although I'm sure they're going to be very capable still, that's going to be a smashing phone, I think.
I'm up for it. I think, as you know, I'm not camera-centric at all when it comes to phones, and I'll quite happily trade that in. However, what I was hoping, and clearly is not the case, is Qi charging. And I thought to myself, they've got to. I know that an 8,300 mAh battery, well, assuming that we get that in the UK, in Europe, which I'm not convinced that we will. We'll get some sort of dumbed-down version, but we'll see. You know, how much would it cost them to put a coil in the back of the blooming thing? I don't get why they're excluding Qi charging, apparently just for the sake of it, just to say that those that want Qi charging can buy the OnePlus 15. You know,
it's a bit backwards for me.
Yeah,
it's like it's got a higher refresh rate and bigger battery. A different, like, it's a bit strange. You think that would be on the more flagship one, and it would have 120 hertz, say. But yeah, it's a bit backwards. I don't know. I guess
when you look on Amazon and see that you can buy a Qi coil to plug into your USB C port for about £2.50, you think, why? Why would you leave this out? I guess that OnePlus will probably say, well, we've done our market research and nobody's bothered apart from you, Ted Salmon, and so and so we're not going to bother putting it in because it will save us £2.50 for each unit. So,
surely they could have saved that £2.50 elsewhere, giving it 165 hertz. What's the cost implementation of that versus 120 hertz or 144, yeah. I don't know.
It does look quite exciting, though, and I think I'm not bothered about the camera, so this OnePlus 15R could be really big news for me. And that battery, if we do get that size battery, it'll be absolutely stonking. It'll almost offset the Qi charging paranoia.
that could be nearly a three-day phone. Definitely, I reckon you'd get 2 days out of that.
Yeah,
easy.
Definitely. Sure.
Yeah. This was teased a little while ago, and now it's official. It's the Samsung Z Trifold. I don't like the name Trifold. And it was on sale on the 12th of December in South Korea first, obviously. I like the implementation of this. It's because on the, you know, the Huawei one.
Yep.
The soft screen shows on the outside.
Yep.
Whereas this one, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike the Huawei one, you can't have all three sizes. So you can't have phone, then like a normal fold, and then a tablet. You've only got phone or tablet, one or the other, basically.
Right.
But I do like the implementation of this because I think, because a lot of people moan about the folds not actually gaining that much space because when you watch things, you have black bars. Whereas this turns into a tablet, and I think it looks rather smart. I don't know what your thoughts on it are, Ted.
Durability, I think, is going to be the big one for everyone on these, and it's interesting to see that they're rolling out nice and safely to their home country in South Korea first, to presumably to check on that and not have a massive rollout globally where they will fall apart. if they all fall apart in South Korea, then it's not such a disaster. But I don't think that's happened to the Huawei one. I think that they've got the tech right, and it should be actually quite neat. And but as you say, it folds slightly differently. I'm not sure which one I prefer, the way they fold, to be honest. I suppose having a hard back when it's closed does have certain advantages, as you say.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
It's all a bit scary. For me personally, I don't have the need for a folding phone at all, unlike you. I'm not out and about like you are. If I want to use a bigger screen, I've got plenty around me. So I don't really need to consider having a folding phone. But if I did, in my old days when I was working and out and about and doing stuff, I think I would have been really keen on this. Was there any word on a stylus, or is it going to be another dumb S Pen or a smart S Pen, or have we got no word?
I didn't see any word on that, and the pictures don't suggest anything. I think it would be a big shame to have that big canvas and not have pen support, though, wouldn't it? Yeah, it's going to be pricey, though. That's the thing. If it does hit the UK, because I've heard rumours it's not hitting the UK.
Ever?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Like you say, they might be just putting it through its paces first before they commit to that. I don't know. I think one thing why they're rushing this out a bit, though, is obviously with the rumours with Apple having their fold coming, they want to take things to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously with Huawei doing the same, they want to follow suit. Because I've heard rumours of an Honor one as well, but I haven't seen any articles on that yet.
Mm. No, nor have I. You should know.
Yeah, no, I've only heard rumours. So.
Cool.
Next one is an interesting device. I really like the look of it. We've spoken about it in the past. It's the Poco F8 Ultra and F8 Pro. With the Bose subwoofer. Now the gentleman we had on as guest last night, Nomad Tech Project, he's actually got one.
Yeah.
And he said it didn't give that much extra bass. It's just like an extra driver. And he goes, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the cameras are about a 6 to 6.5 out of 10. But he goes, other than that, it's a very, very good device, and it is cheaper than other flagships. Mm-hmm. It's a really high spec.
Is that the Ultra or the Pro?
The Ultra. Okay. Yeah. I've not really looked at the Pro because the Ultra's got the Bose thing. I'm not interested in it without that.
That's only on the Ultra, is it?
Yeah, it's only on the Ultra. That. Yeah. 6,500 milliamp hour battery. Sports 100-watt wired, 50-watt wireless. It says here 4 years of major updates and 6 years of security, which is quite good from Poco.
That's the same as Honor, isn't it?
Yeah, quite similar, yeah. HyperOS 3, Android 16-based, HyperX AI features and Google Gemini, pretty standard now. I know Flossie Carter seemed to like it a lot.
Uh-huh.
He was raving about the Bose speaker on it. I had that on the background because his video is about an hour long.
Yeah.
He needs to calm down with that. That's something he says. But it's an interesting device. If you do use your phone speakers a lot, that would be probably the one to get, I think.
Which I do, and I would like that. I'd like to try it. The F7 Ultra recently had dropped down to about £500. On Amazon UK, and it was the 512 gig version, I think, in yellow. You have to have it in yellow to get the low price. But I think it started off, the real price was $699, and the real world price was $599. So it'd be interesting to see what your mate paid for it, the Ultra, or what Flossie did. I didn't quite remember that.
Yeah, because he's in the US as well, so he's had to import it over there.
Let's see what GMS Arena is like. GSM Arena are saying that it should be £749. 699 for the 512 version and 16 gigs of RAM version. So, yeah, it looks like launch price is probably the same as the Poco F7 Ultra. But it will come down, won't it?
Well, even the launch price is very, very good for what you're getting. Again, it's got the flagship 8 Elite Gen 5 in there as well, so it's high-end chipset.
Look at the Amazon delivery page. It says free delivery between the 20th of February and the 25th of June, 26th.
They're tracking that forever.
They obviously haven't got any. That's what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Looks but nice, though.
My friend, actually, he got the Ricoh in, and he rather liked it, but he lost... I don't know if it got blacklisted by his network, T-Mobile or whoever it is, but all of a sudden it couldn't get any connection, so he had to switch. But he rather liked that Ricoh as well.
Ricoh,
what was it? The Ricoh one, what's it? Is it Redmi or is it Realme? It's Realme, isn't it?
Redmi.
Is it Redmi or Realme?
Redmi.
Was it Redmi?
where's Ricoh come into it?
A Ricoh partnership on that phone.
Oh, I see. Sorry, right. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with
which
you.
Which one was that?
Good question.
We've covered it on here.
Yeah, we have. I'll look in the show notes later. But that
one he had anyway, and then it lost service. So I do feel sorry for the guys in the US. They just haven't got the access like we have.
Yeah, that's very sad.
Yeah. And then talking about these types of phones, there's a first look of a Nubia Fold and the Nubia Flip 3.
Oh, yeah.
Nubia are doing some really interesting things, aren't they? Let's have a little look.
Let me see the back of this one. It looks like a Red Magic gaming phone with a huge island on the back. But they're knocking out some nice stuff. I quite like the design of the Flip, because on the front of the Flip you don't have two whacking great big cameras. You've got one big camera in the corner, and then the second one's a little one, and that looks like gives you much more screen space on the front of the Flip than the ones we've kind of got so far, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it looks very thin as well, doesn't it, in that picture? Yeah, it's very interesting.
We don't know much about them yet, though, do we?
No, there's not really much info there, but just the pictures that we're looking at. We'll link these, obviously. But it looks very, very, very smart. Let's see if we hear more in the future. But Nubia are doing really interesting things. And, again, great value for money with the specs in there.
What happened to Honor's flip phones?
They only put them in Asian markets, I think.
Oh, did they? Okay.
I don't know if they go global.
Right.
They thought about the last one. One of the reasons they didn't is because it's quite chunky.
Right.
The last one, anyway. But I don't know. Watch this space. I think it's only a matter of time they will, because their V series has had really good growth. The V5 had really good growth from the V3 year on year. So let's watch this space, because I think they are growing in Europe and globally. I think they're just being smart with taking their time, I think.
Right, okay. Yeah. In the meantime, we can possibly, in the UK, look at the Nubia Fold and Flip, but I wouldn't hold your breath. I've still never seen a Nubia phone in a shop or for sale anywhere.
No, because there's that other Nubia which I like the look of. That's the Starry Night version.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that one looks like a good camera phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This next one, I like it for the colour, actually. They've jumped on the orange trend, and it's the new Yola phone.
Is available
to pre-order.
Blimey. Pre-order if you want to risk your money. It's on a Kickstarter, and you've got to cough up, what is it, 500 quid in the hope that the Kickstarter does and gets made, and you don't lose your money penny for penny. I don't get unless I have pots of money, I suppose. I'm not going to risk 500 quid, would you?
I certainly wouldn't, know. Even though I like the orange on it, it's not going to make me buy it, that's for sure.
Actually, to be fair, I think the down payment is only 100 quid, but even so, the principle's the same.
Yeah, because I think the total payment is 499, is it?
Yeah. But yeah, so I've got the Yola C2 phone here, and I never turned it on. It seemed like a good idea at the time, and I thought, yeah, it's something different and interesting, but it's really crappy hardware. It's really underpowered, and the speakers are absolute shite. Now, it might be with this one that they've addressed all those things, and they've made it better, and they've made it more like a, you know, we'll come to Fairphone a bit later on, and, you know, perhaps we'll re-reference this Yola phone, but the whole Sailfish thing to me is just like... In the words of Mike Warner, at the end of the day, you want a phone that can do stuff.
Yeah, I'm too baked into Google. Way too baked in. They know everything about me already, so they may as well continue knowing everything about me.
Yeah.
It does look more flagship though. Looking at the specs, 50 megapixel wide.
Yeah.
13 megapixel ultra wide. Wi-Fi 6.
The cameras look as though they're more beefy, don't they?
12 gig of RAM, 256 gig of storage, expandable as well, up to 2 terabyte. Woohoo. Full HD AMOLED display with, yeah, fairly decent PPI. Replaceable batteries, nice, I guess. Don't get that often, do you?
Nope.
There are some nice things there, but yeah, I'm too baited into Google to touch that. Yeah. But interesting device.
There's an interesting middle road. We'll come to Fairphone a bit later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next one, I think you... I haven't actually heard anything about this one. The Magic 8 Ultra.
Yeah, you probably have, but you're not allowed to say so.
No, honestly, I haven't heard. They didn't brief us about this one at all. So I've not... First I saw it was when you showed us in here, and I was like, oh... I'd love to see an Ultra.
It looks like it's quite beefy, doesn't it? 7,200 milliamp hour battery, the 120 watt wired charging. No one seems to really know anything much about it, and what information there is about it is all in Chinese, and you've got to kind of try and interpret it. So who knows? And I don't believe that picture that GSM Arena have put up to show the phone is the actual phone. I think that's probably some other phone that they've... It's a placeholder image, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I think that probably is. It doesn't look right to me.
If you don't know anything about it, then no one does.
Well, I don't know about that. but, yeah, I mean, it's one of them, if it does happen, it's probably going to be, if it's being their first Ultra, probably China only anyway. Because that seems to be the trend with the Ultra phones, although more are going global now, which is good. Mm-hmm. I think that probably will be China only if it's real. But let's see.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah. Now, nothing.
Yes, I've got nothing to say about nothing. I mean, it's the nearly flagship for me. It's
They sent you one to review, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I've got to send it back because I haven't given it enough love. I asked for an extension. It should have went back today, and I probably will look at sorting that out for tomorrow. I'm going to put my review on my channel soonish, but I haven't tested the camera as much as I would have liked. But it is good. I really like Nothing OS 4. I like the clean aesthetics of it. I like the simplicity of it, and there's some nice bits in there. The glyph matrix is quite gimmicky, but for me, I like it for the fact that it's a second always on display with the time on there. You heard me mention that on my Nothing OS What's New video. I do rather like that time being shown on the back, even if the spin the bottle and the rock, paper, scissors and stuff like that's a bit gimmicky. It's a bit of fun, though, as well. When you show people, we're like, oh, yeah, that's brilliant.
Novelty.
There is a lack of AI, though, although there is an essential space button.
Yeah.
There's a lack of AI, especially when it comes to, this is where I miss it most, in the gallery, in its own gallery app, there's not a lot of features, I find, which some people will like the simplicity of that. It will really appeal to some people. For me, I like having them editing tools in there, because Samsung and Honor have them, of course. I find the essential button really annoying, though, because it's a little bit too close to the power button for me, and I keep always pushing it.
Yes.
Which is frustrating. I reckon it only needs to be probably a centimetre or two lower, and it would be better, I think, but I don't know. What's your thoughts? You've got it as well, haven't you?
I've got one, because the only reason I got one was because they dropped the price on the day after Black Friday, or rather the day after Cyber Monday, to £534. On Black Friday, Cyber Monday, it dropped to £619. But on the following day, on the Tuesday, I couldn't believe my eyes. As long as you have it in black, it was £534. And they offered me £44 times 12 months. And I thought, I should really get this. However, I kind of regret it, I think. Like you were saying, a lot of it is quite gimmicky. And also, I was really annoyed because your one and my 2A Plus here got OS 4 straight away. And this one didn't. It was stuck on Android 15 and it just would not update. And anyway, it did on Monday of last week. So a week ago today, it did update to OS 4 and Android 16. And there are some nice touches in there. Some of the touches I like about the OS 4 are the fact that they followed very closely the whole Pixel thing. So, for example, when you side swipe the notifications, you get this bounce thing going on, and there's the status bar at the top, which it looks very much like a Pixel, except that they've slightly screwed up the thickness of the left and right sides, but apart from that, it worked really well. You highlighted a lot of these things on your video, of course, which we'll link to in the show notes. But yeah,
I bounced around a notification from you, Ted.
Yes, that's right, you did. Well done. And I did a blog post as well of myself highlighting the differences, which again I'll link to in the post. I also did a discovery post, which I quite enjoy doing these days. So I go onto MeWe. When I get a new phone, I go onto MeWe, and as I'm opening it up, I just type into the post in MeWe, and it's like a discovery of what I'm finding, first impressions post. And a few people have said they quite like that. If they don't like it, they can just skip past and ignore it, of course, but it worked really well. We got this Odex optimization tool thingy as well, which seemed to work pretty well. When you first fire up OS 4, as you know, Joe, it kind of invites you to put everything through this optimizer, and I'm not really sure, to be honest, what that does or doesn't do, but it seems to be harmless enough, and hopefully it's doing some good. So we'll see.
I thought it was a good idea. I did it. First thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure most people would once they're prompted. More size options for weather and widgets and stuff like that. This is all based on my experience with the 2A Plus, of course. But the glyph interface on the Nothing Phone 3, which I said I'd come back to, I think that it kind of... I think it's more gimmicky than you're giving it credit for. I think that you are seeing more utilitarian use in that than I am. I think that most of it, and I've gone on to the playground to see what I can find to add to it, and there have been a few things I've added to it, like a bouncy pattern thingy when you're playing music, for example. But there are lots of things in there that don't quite work, or you install them and they're not quite there, and you know, the playground has got some way to go, and those, that little circle, in some ways I think that I prefer the bigger flash of light on the older devices than that little circle, and it just feels a bit like a toy, really, in many ways, which is a shame. But yeah, it sounds to me as though you see more benefit and more mileage than I do. Is that right?
I do, yeah, just purely for that always on display thing, because I always put my phone screen down, and it shows the time. It's quite nice, and when notifications come through, you do get a little graphic come on the screen.
Yep.
I say give us the glyph lights back still, though, and have
as
both.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, as well.
Did you have time to assess the battery?
Yeah, its battery's been okay for me. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's been okay. It gets through a day easily. I don't know how you found it. I think maybe that optimization helped at the beginning, but I did.
Yeah, maybe. The speakers, I thought, were pretty good. But then they were actually also pretty good on the 2A Plus. I think generally nothing have done quite well with the speakers across the whole range.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a nice grill at the bottom and a nice little grill at the top as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
One thing I thought was rather interesting with the design, though, did you notice the microphones are on the antenna bands?
Oh, let's have a look, hang on.
A bit different, I thought.
Microphones are on the antenna bands.
Yeah, top and bottom.
Oh, top and bottom. Oh, yeah, so they are.
You don't normally see that, do you? It's just something unique about Nothing Again. Mm. They like to be a bit quirky.
I don't know, I hadn't realised that at all. But I quite like the layout of the back of it. It looks quirky and different, and I know it got a lot of bad press and people didn't like it, and, you know, fair enough. I also like the fact that the volume keys are on the left. I know that's a real iPhone thing to say, but I think that, for me anyway, that seems to work better. Holding your phone in your left hand, for a right-handed person, touching the screen with your right hand, you've got your thumb on the volume buttons, and it just seems to work pretty well for me. The essential key, the essential space, like you, I think, I've yet to really see the benefit of that. I'm not convinced that it's not open enough for me. When I go back to my Pixel, you've got some of those kind of AI things going on, and they just seem to work better because they're out there and they're open, and you can access the stuff you save from different places with the essential space stuff. At very best, you can use the share menu to kind of send stuff out, but it's not very intuitive. I think they're kind of hoping that people will keep stay in the Nothing or CMF realm and use those devices inside the circle. Talking of CMF, I'll also link to the show notes to my CMF Phone 2 Pro review, because I was looking at, in conjunction with the 4 here, the 3, the Nothing Phone 3, I was looking at which watch to use, and I've got the CMF Watch Pro 2 here, and I've also got the Moto Watch Fit. And I'm going to link to, in the show notes, to my summary of that, because my conclusion was that the CMF Watch Pro 2, you would think, would work better with a Nothing phone, but actually it doesn't. I think Motorola have done a really good job with the Watch Fit. I don't know if you've had a chance to pair yours up with anything yet, the one that you got in your pack, but honestly, I think they've thought it out really well, and it works beautifully across any device that you put the app on, whereas the Watch Pro 2, the CMF watch app, is just clunky, and they're trying to switch people over from the watch app to the X app, and that's really confusing, and it's screwed it all up for me a couple of times. So I personally would recommend people just buy the Moto watch. Have you had a chance to have a pair up with the Moto watch Fit with anything yet?
No, but it's very much on my agenda. I want to film an unboxing first, and I'm a bit behind on other content. But yeah, I will be getting that done probably this week, film that, and then I'll start wearing it, because I'm quite excited to test it out, actually.
I'll tell you, when you start doing that, I'll walk through the settings with you, because I'm a past master now at using the device, and I've got it working just perfectly. With any phone, it's not failed with any phone except the Edge 60 Pro, which I spoke about last week or the week before. But that was because Android 16 screwed it up. Anyway, sorry. Back to your to your stuff. That was probably most of what I had to say about the Nothing Phone and co. Did you have anything else to add?
I guess, like I said, with the funny design, it is on purpose what they've done. And when you actually look at it, it's in like three grids. So although it's asymmetric, it is in three grids.
Yeah.
Columns and grids across the whole phone. So it is all done on purpose, and it's very intricate when you look at the design of it. So that on the right below the glyph is where the NFC coils are.
Yeah.
And that's sort of nicely designed on there. Going back to the glyph, they call them the glyph toys. So you probably are right about them being toys.
Yeah.
And they're very upfront about it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you obviously had the back thing to be always on as well, which I didn't do. In the settings, you can tell that to either stay on all the time and then choose what you want it to show, like you say with the clock if you want to. I didn't quite work out can you set it so that it's not always on except if you put the phone face down and then it's always on.
I think so, yeah, and you can mark how long the glyph stays on, can't you?
Yeah, but I wonder if you can, like, if I hold it in my hand upright looking at me, then it's off. But if I put it face down on the table, can you set it so that it, in that situation, it comes on and stays on? I don't know.
I thought so, but now I'm questioning myself.
Okay.
Glyph interface. I'm going to quick look now.
Okay.
Flip to glyph. Yeah, because it is a whole setting, flip to glyph.
Flip to glyph is when a phone call comes in, isn't it? And you flip it over and then it stops or does something different. I can't remember. We've done our research very badly here, haven't we? I'm going to... I'll put my SIM card back in it and learn a bit more about it.
Yeah, because always on glyph toy is a setting within that flip to glyph.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We'll find out, dear listener, and not bore you with this.
Yeah, as if anyone really cares that much.
Right, okay, so you got some more honour stuff, have you?
Yeah, so going back to the 8 Lite, there was a press release from Honor on the 8th of December, which is why I'm now allowed to talk about it a bit more.
Right.
Like I said, it's a 7,500 mAh battery, and it's silicon carbon, again. Mm-hmm. And it's paired with a very efficient Snapdragon 6 Gen 4 SoC, which obviously it's not the most powerful, but for the price point, it's not a bad chipset. I found like things like Lightroom, it's a bit slower, and the AI features will take a bit longer to do, but for most people, it'd be fine. I'm not a gamer, so I don't really do that. The battery... You can charge it up with 66 watt wired charging. There's no wireless though.
No.
So boo to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I use wireless. You can actually do reverse wireless wired charging, 7.5 watts. So you can be a little power bank for your friend or your buds while you're out and about, which is quite a nice feature. I found that quite a lot of phones are doing that now though.
Yeah.
And for me, the screen is the big thing they've done. For me, Honor screens are some of the best displays on the market. This one's got a 1.5K resolution, 120Hz refresh rate. But the key thing is the usual Honor eye cares on there with 3840 PWM dimming, which is much higher than what others are doing. Because, I mean, this Nothing phone, I think it's 900 and something PWM.
Right.
Just quite a stark contrast. And that's actually higher than... a lot of phones as well, even.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's other eye care on there. And the other highlight on top of the display, as I've mentioned, is the durability. So it's an industry first SGS 5-star comprehensive reliability certificate. It's a mouthful, isn't it? So like I said, it can withstand drops of 2.5 meters on certain surfaces. I've actually seen someone dropping it, and it seemed fine. I personally wouldn't do that because it's not my phone, so I'm not going to drop test it. I did put it in a vase of water though, both cold and boiling, and it survived quite well. You can actually play videos up to 30 minutes. Can be submerged for up to 30 minutes in 1.5 meters of water, which is rather good. I've mentioned that about the chipset, the camera. So the main lens is nice enough in good light, and it's okay in low light. I found with moving subjects, it struggles a bit. The 5-megapixel ultra wide, it's nice to have it on there, but in anything but good light, it falls apart, as to be expected. Does come in three colours. I've got the midnight black here. The forest green and the reddish brown are more exciting, though. I rather like the reddish brown. You liked the forest green when you saw that, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. It's coming out next year. I can't say exactly when, but it's early next year. And I don't have pricing yet, as mentioned, but I suspect it's going to be the same as the Magic 7 Lite was, which was $399. Mm-hmm. So it is amazing value. It does have like a plastic frame, though.
Which is fine.
That doesn't affect the durability. I think it's got some ultra bounce technology, you call it. Mm-hmm. So maybe the plastic's a plus with that. I bought an AliExpress case and it didn't fit. It was a piece of rubbish. In fact, I actually like it without a case anyway. And I feel quite secure in the fact that it's not going to break if I accidentally drop it, I don't think. I think it's pretty durable.
Yeah.
It's very lovely and light, hence the name being light as well. Flat screen. Flat screen's nice, always. Yeah, I think it's got a lot going for it.
Yeah.
Probably won't appeal to much of MIUI community, so like more flagship device, I think. But
yeah, I think that's probably true. But there is a part of our community that also appreciates value and last year's flagships, and watching the pennies. So there is another group as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and they're obviously the people in their friends group that tell others about phones, and it might be one that would be quite suitable for a builder friend of yours, maybe. Many of you have probably seen as well, I shared on MeWe that many motivators received a lovely gift box, a Christmas gift box, which has the watch fit in it. It was a lovely surprise. And Ted has done a fantastic review comparing the CMF Watch Pro 2 with nothing phone versus Moto. So I'd definitely check that out. I think it's a really fantastic watch, and my unboxing is going to come soon, and I'll start testing it myself. I like the fact that it's got a long life on it, 16 days. It's the band's quite nice. You get extra lugs in the box, don't you, to have another band set up ready to go.
You do.
As well. Yeah. So, I mean, it's some nice things in there. And again, when we're talking about value for money, it's not going to break the bank, that watch.
I've got some bad news for you. You will not get 16 days out of it.
Well, you're not.
Unless you disconnect it from the phone.
Well, I won't be doing that.
And don't have any connections going at all. Then you might.
out of interest, what are you finding on average, would you say?
About 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
But to be fair, I have my always-on display on maximum brightness. I have all the notifications from every app coming through to it. And it's just, it's always on, and, it's just always going. But to me, 6 days is okay. I think it's so much better than any other watch I've had.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love my OnePlus Watch 2, and I get 2 to 2.5 days out of that, maybe 3 at a push. So 6 days sounds fantastic to me, Ted. And I only use it for basic stuff like notifications, tracking some sleep and my steps and stuff, which isn't very high. Embarrassed to say, but yeah.
I'll talk you through when you go to set it up. I'll talk you through stepping through to do it, because as I say, I've got really in the reeds, not in the reeds, with the Moto Watch Fit now, and I think I know it quite well.
Yeah, and then I'll steal that and make a video out of it. Cheers, Ted.
Yeah, no problem at all. Teamwork.
Yeah, that's it. I'll give credit to you, though.
Before we move away from that, I just wanted to say that we forgot to say that the Nothing Phone 3 comes with a TPU in the box, which fits beautifully.
It does, yeah.
Absolutely perfect. If I was going out to buy a TPU, which I always do when I get a new phone, I could not hope for a better one. It's just brilliant. It's perfect. Soft and pliable, and it fits like a glove. And I'd also say that the macro camera for me is actually really good. It uses the telephoto lens, and if you set it on 6 times, it worked really well. I was looking in Reddit today at this guy who had taken some pictures with it of this these insects, and it's just really, really impressive. The macro camera.
It's good, actually.
Yeah.
The macro video is also good on it.
Right.
As well.
Okay.
I agree there, definitely. And going back to the TPU, it doesn't feel like there's anything on it. That's how nice it is. That's how nicely it's been done.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like it's naked still, but with more grip. So, yeah, good shout there, Ted. And that comes in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for Carl. Good old Uncle Carl.
Yeah. But it's important to a lot of people. Yeah.
So how have you been? Did you put that on your YouTube channel? How's your YouTube channel going?
It's getting there. It's doing quite well. This was going to be the last note from me, actually. So massive thank you to those that have supported me so far. My goal to get to 500 by the end of the year is very much on. When I looked just before the show, I'm on 492 for subs. Yeah. And,
well done.
And what's really important for me, I've recently hit and passed 2,000 watch hours.
What does that mean?
So the significance of that is you need to get to 4,000 to make partner.
To
start monetizing. I mean, I'm not going to be making much at all, but that's the goal, obviously, to start making something out of it.
Mm.
I do just enjoy doing it, to be honest. So if I don't make partner, who cares? But it's nice to see the people are watching it.
Because
it makes it worthwhile, doesn't it? For a small YouTuber like me.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to step out and do stuff like that. And however little you make, you'll make more than I do from writing on my blog. But between us, we can do, like Steve and I used to do, he can do the video and I'll do the writing. Although he was also really good at doing writing. So you'll have to do both.
No, I'm quite pants at writing, but I've got AI to help me.
That's true, yeah. Okay, yeah, so that's all that stuff done. I had Magic OS 10 arrive on my Honor 400 Pro here.
Well, hey.
And I was pleased to see that the long press on the home screen now gets straight to where it should. So none of this pinching and to try and get to widgets and all this kind of shenanigans that was there before. You just have to long press it like you do on any other Android phone. The whole long winded way of getting to what they call classic widgets is still there, but to be fair, they're also doing that on Google now. So if you've got a Google phone, I don't know if people know this, but if you've got a Google phone, you long press the home screen and then tap on widgets. Well, that's split into two now in the same way. On the left, you've got featured on the left, which is the ones that they think you want to get to first, and then you've got to swipe right to get to all the rest of them. So they're clearly all doing this kind of two-stage widget access thingy. So Honor are not alone in that, for sure. The Apple's glass and transparency mode, I think they've made that better, and that worked really nicely. They've also allowed users to get rid of that stupid 12 GB extra turbo RAM thingy. If you look at the turbo RAM button in the about pages, there's now a button, a big button on the bottom of the box, and if you tap on that, it will let you turn it off and reboot the phone and then just have the ordinary 12 GB and not have that stupid thing going on.
I made note of that in the light one, because I thought you could change it, but that's still on Magic OS 9. And yeah, I was quite annoyed that you couldn't change it there.
Right, yeah, I think that's an OS 10 thing. Yep.
Mm.
Image to video is back, but you only get 3 per month, from what I can work out, before having to pay that 51p a go, like you discovered. And once my free ones are gone, that was it. But they are letting you do free ones, but yeah, 3 each month, and then it renews. But if you want one in between times, we're back to paying for it. It's got that share with Apple stuff all over it, but then Apple users have got to install the Honor app to do it, which is a bit, you know, it is very Apple-ish, and Honor are guilty of having done that. In fact, I fed back to them today. They sent me this thing, said, "What do you think of your phone?" And that's the first thing I said to them. I said, "Stop copying Apple. Do your own thing."
Don't stop copying Apple. Just take the best bits.
Yeah, copy the best bits, but not anyway. They're clearly trying to snag iPhone users and Apple users, and they've got all these tools available for Mac PCs and not Windows ones, and they seem to just be wanting to get into bed with Apple. Really, I do quite.
I think
like
the key point to that quickly, Ted. Right, you know, yep. the Kinect. I think it's more about. Because a lot of people like Macs and iPads, but could be more flexible with their phone. So I think it's about having the Kinect app for their tablet.
Yeah.
Rather than having to move the whole ecosystem, they can then buy an Honor phone and still connect nicely.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's what it's more about. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do quite like this skin generally that they put over Android Honor. I think it works quite nicely, and the Magic OS 10 has got some nice touches to change it, and it feels as though they've listened to the users to some degree, and they've changed some of that stuff in response to people's whinging and whining like me. So that's cool.
Just quickly, Ted.
Yep.
Have they centered your Ted Salmon? Your email on the middle, on the lock screen.
No.
No, so they've still got to fix that.
yeah. They haven't listened to me on that one.
Still work to be done.
There is still work to be done. There's also work to be done on the Moto Edge 60 Pro, because I updated it to Android 16 last week. I was very surprised to see it coming arrive, but it did. Mm. October security. And I was really hard pushed to find anything different, to be honest. They haven't adopted, like we were just talking about the Nothing Phone, they haven't adopted a load of the Pixel status bar changes or anything like that. Nothing Phone has made it feel very much like a Pixel more than it did before, but Moto are just not, they've just gone their own way, which is not a problem. It's just that, you know, that's how it is. I did have a problem though with the Moto Watch Fit connectivity, which I mentioned earlier, and it kept crashing. I did find a workaround in the end, but you know, the Motorola team thanked me for finding it, because no one else had found it, and I found a way out and back and round, and I won't bore everyone with it here. I did post about it in the group though, in MeWe, so if you want to read that you can. But then the newest problem is that the RCS is basically broken. I think I can't send photographs with RCS, so I tried rebooting the phone, clearing the cache, the data, reinstalling Google Messages updates, just no go. I'm using EE in the UK, and I switched the SIM card across to my Pixel, and first time, RCS kicked in, first time the photograph went, put the SIM card back in, tried again in the Edge 60 Pro, and just wouldn't go. It is a bit buggy here and there, and I think that they have got to update it, and I've told them that, but of course, Moto being Moto, they would just, you know, they'll take their time, won't they? And if you're lucky, you'll get an update in 3 months' time. So, So Moto Edge Pro 60 Pro is nice to see Android 16 on it, but as we were saying just now about Magic OS 10, it needs more work. I told you about my Pixel Fold. I went back onto that. Octopi launcher worked really well on that one. The other thing that I wanted to talk about briefly was the Fairphone 5. And I decided, I don't know, about 3 months ago now, I wanted to buy a Fairphone. Don't ask me why, I just did. And I was weighing up the differences between the Fairphone 5 and the Fairphone 6. And I decided in the end to buy the Fairphone 5. And it's got some distinct advantages over the Fairphone 6, I think. First of all, the HDMI out is 3.0 or 3.1 or something, which gives it desktop mode. And the Fairphone 6, they've ripped that away from. And they're assuming everyone's going to be doing stuff wirelessly, I suppose. But I quite like the fact that I've got USB-C support and I put a cable into it and get the media out to wherever I want it to go. And so that's the difference. The battery replacement you can do without a screwdriver with the 5. You can't with the 6. Not that we're going to likely replace the battery that often, but it's an interesting move away from the hot swappable nature of the Fairphone 5. Another reason why I went for the former. It doesn't look like an iPhone shape, which the Fairphone 6 does, I'm afraid. It's a nicer shape in the hand. It's a bit bigger for more screen real estate, but the corners are not so square. It doesn't have any of this silly CMF phone style accessories stylizing it. And this Fairphone Moments thing, which is a bit dumb, really, because you can just set your phone up how you want to anyway. So there was a lot about the Fairphone 6 that I looked at, and I thought, no, I don't need this. I think the Fairphone 5, it may not be as new a chipset and as new... it's got obviously got 1 year more support going forward, but it's... it was the 5 for me. I got the one with the transparent back, 256 gigabytes for 8 gigabytes, and I got a spare battery, which was cool. The battery life, I'm afraid, is a bit crap. It, you know, with my reading, my 10% reading test, I'm getting like an hour if I'm lucky, which is, I've not got results from a phone of an hour for about, I don't know, 10 years probably now. So, yeah, you might want a spare battery, to be honest. There's no always-on display. The face unlock is really good. It works really well. Fingerprint scanner works really well. It's got an OLED panel, which is really impressive. Lovely colours, very bright. The speakers I was talking about earlier in comparison, that they're really good, loud, decent quality. When you go and track down the data on that from like the likes of GSM Arena, they all kind of say that the speakers are a bit crap, but actually in my experience here I don't think that's true. I think they're very good, but each to their own, I suppose, and have their own ears. The capacitive fingerprint sensor on the side is really good and easy to set up, reliable. I suggested earlier that the fingerprint scanner was on the screen, didn't I? It's not on the screen, it's on the side. I'm getting mixed up with my devices. Micro SD card slot under the battery, along with the SIM card. I put my 1 terabyte micro SD card in there and it's working absolutely fine, no problem at all. No AI features in sight, not a single one, which is actually quite refreshing, I think. Sadly, though, there's one major bug with it, huge bug, which, I wrote about this in the MeWe group. It's surprising how wallpaper, we've come to expect wallpaper just to work, and it's absolutely fine. And it doesn't. You set the wallpaper to anything apart from their standard boring blue one, and within an unspecified length of time, like 5 minutes, 5 hours next morning, it just goes back to their blue stock one. Really annoying. The group, you know, the communities online have flagged this up hugely. One of the big problems, I think, with Fairphone is that they don't respond very well, not only to people asking questions and complaining, but also fixing bugs. They're worse than Motorola, frankly. And it's just a shame because they haven't got the resources, I suppose, and they're a small team. But the tip here is that if you've got a Fairphone, is to go to their forums, their own forums. Don't go to Reddit ones or anywhere else, but their own forums. If you sign up and make an account there, apparently they do read those, even though they're not very responsive. But that's where they pick up their user feedback from. And so I have been doing that. But yeah, wallpaper, it seems in 2025 should be much of a standard that you can put whatever wallpaper on you want, don't you think?
Should certainly stay there, shouldn't it?
Exactly.
It's like they're playing with you with that one.
And of course, on the five, the Fairphone 5, you can replace loads of parts. You can still buy all of those parts, and it's all there for sale. And it's more accessible than the Fairphone 6 is, to be honest. So the Fairphone 6 feels a bit like a gimmicky style toy, a bit like Nothing Phone, I suppose, but certainly like the CMF phone. Where they got stuff you can bolt onto the back of it and that sort of thing.
It's your appeal to some, but bother.
No.
I've got to say, that screwdriver's rather smart looking.
Yeah, they charge £4 Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was sending off for a battery anyway, so I thought, oh, well, I'll put another £4. I'll have one of their genuine screwdrivers. It's a Torx number 4, I think it is, and that basically fits everything on the phone. And you can replace pretty much, as I say, what bits you want. And I checked on their website, and you can still buy most of those. And I've great confidence going forward that they're going to stick to that program. So that's cool.
Really going back to the Nothing Phone.
Yeah,
the fingerprint scanner's rather low, isn't it? It works very, very well, but it's quite low down on the screen.
You're absolutely right. And if it had a capacitive one on the side, I'd be even happier.
Yeah, definitely. I much prefer capacitive, but no one really gives us it.
No.
Although, it's not optical. The ultrasonic ones are great.
Yeah.
They're great.
I think they are better. But I think the optical ones are coming up, and they're almost as good now. They all work pretty well, I think.
So, yeah. We're quite lucky with that tech now.
Yeah, definitely. Right, okay then. So I think I've ploughed through most of the stuff I want to do. I've got the Next Paper 60 Ultra here, but we're saving that for when Jim Fowle comes onto the show, which is going to be in the middle of January. You've got my Next Paper 50 Pro over there now. So when Jim comes on, we should all be able to wax lyrical and have good hands-on experience with the Next Paper system. So watch out for that one, everyone. And I'm sure by then you'd have got rid of some of the other stuff you've got to make videos on and moved on to that one, won't you?
Yeah, I definitely would have had a good play by then. Yeah,
oh,
sure.
You've got the Titan 2 to do yet as well, haven't you?
Yeah, although Aidan wants to have a little play, doesn't he? So I might send it to him first and then get it back after, it's only fair.
Yeah. But it'd be quite good if you could reference that on that show with Jim on the 12th of January. So at least kind of do a little bit on it before you send it to Aidan, so we can discuss that on that show. Would that be all right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, cool. I can definitely have a little play with that.
Excellent.
Because I want to.
yeah, definitely. Okay, what have I got time to do? Have I got time to do the Pixel 9 versus Honor 400 Pro?
Well, we're in charge, Ted. We can do what we like.
Can't we? Right. If you don't want to hear this, then fast forward. So I have the Pixel 9 in hand, and I have the Honor 400 Pro in hand. And two or three weeks ago, I was trying to work out which one to use, and I did some pros and cons. And here is my list. So the pros and the cons between the two. Pixel, I really like the Now Playing function. When you've used Now Playing, which picks up music around you and tells you what it is, it's really hard to shake that off. And I really like having that.
That's the feature I miss most, by the way, Ted.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I think that most people would. And it's really surprising that it, no one else is doing it, apart from this little workaround with Spotify or something, some other service anyway. I love the fact that the Pixel is way ahead of anything else for updates. It's just so nice, disproportionately reassuring that you know that the OS is going to be updated bang on time. Security updates are coming, and yeah, if you're in bed with Google, it's just such a nice place to be. The Pixel 9 is going to get 7 OS updates and 7 years of security. Yeah, the Honor one is going to get, when I drilled down into this, they first of all said 6 years of updates, but it wasn't. It was 4 OS updates and 6 years of security. So it's still not bad.
A bit naughty, that, though.
Yeah, yeah, it was a bit naughty. And if you live in the Far East, you don't even get that. That Honor are going to give people 2 OS updates. They've been had their hand forced by the EU to make it those 4 and 6, apparently.
Well done, EU. Thank you.
The Pixel's got a simple UI in many ways. It may not be the best, but I think it's pretty simple. The speakers are pretty good. I think the speakers are a bit better than the 400 Pro, the Honor 400 Pros, but there's not much in it, to be honest. The Honor 400 Pro, they've got that 200% volume thing. But to be honest, when you turn that on, it does kind of distort a bit. Depends on how your files are encoded and what you're doing. But I do think that hiking it up to 200% is... Have you got 200% on your folder?
On the V5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has got 200%. I don't know if I have it on there, actually, because I don't like the distortion it has on the higher end.
Right, so it does do the same thing, then.
Well, I'm thinking of the Magic 7 Pro. I don't know if I've got it on here. I'll check that, because... yeah, I'll have a look.
Going back to the Pixel 9, then, the lovely size. It's got a better build quality, I think. Although the Honor 400 Pro has got a really nice shape to it, which I'll come to in a second. There's this smart stuff built into Pixels that you don't get anywhere else, like call waiting, call screening, their own recording app, which you can then get from web-based instances on your computer, hold for me, direct my call. There's lots of little Pixel-only features that you only get with Pixel. Now, other services do some of that, Samsung do some of that stuff on their own as well, but the Honor 400 Pro doesn't kind of do that. Is that the Pixel have baked that into their phone app, most of that, and it works really well. Also, it's got USB-C 3.2, which means you can put a cable into it, and you can use the desktop mode, and you can cable it up to a TV and get media out onto it on the Pixel 9. And with the Honor 400 Pro, you can't do that. What I would say for the Honor 400 Pro, though, is that it's ahead in some other ways. Like, for example, the always-on display is brighter. It's got 512 gigabytes of storage, which I know I could have bought a Pixel 9 with that on, but this comes as standard, I think, with that amount of storage. It's got the best notification screen on I've ever seen. It works really well. You get the whole screen lighting up. Now, Pixel is supposed to do that, but it doesn't. It only lights up the bar. It lights up the actual card that the Pixel, that the notification's in. But with the Honor, it lights up the whole of your lock screen, and it's just really obvious that you've got a new thing, glance across to it, and you can easily read it. I really like that. It's a real big plus for the Honor 400 Pro for me. So it's a lovely shape in the hand. It doesn't look like an iPhone. It's got nice curves to it, and the
it's very light, isn't it?
It is light, yeah. And the corners are work really well. It's now got liquid glass stuff going on in the 10. In fact, it had it before on the 9 as well. So they've copied Apple with that. But actually, it works really well, and it looks really nice. Super bright screen, as you mentioned in your Zoo video. 5,000 nits. And it's really colourful, isn't it? And bright. And it's a shame you weren't able to hang on to your 400 Pro, because you had a good time with it, didn't you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that device. It's one of my devices for value for money of the year, I'd say. Really fantastic device.
indeed. I like the always-on music player box in the control centre, or whatever they call it. Even if you turn the device off, when you turn it back on, that's still there. It knows what you last listened to, and you can just tap play, and it goes where it left off. We spoke about the VO3 thing earlier, 51p image to video. The 200-megapixel main camera, I guess people will think that's impressive, although to me, the 3x optical zoom is probably more useful to me. It's got a bigger battery and a silicon carbon or whatever it's called battery, and the performance of the two, I would say on balance, they're about the same. If I had to pick one between the two, I would slightly go for the Pixel 9 over the Honor 400 Pro for battery, but they're really close, and that's only with the lower battery that we've been given in the EU. So if we had the bigger one from the rest of the world, that would be even better. 100 watt wire charging, that's a definite increase and pro point over the Pixel, which has only got 27 watt. And for those that can get hold of a 50 watt wireless charger, then, you know, that's streets ahead of the 12 or 15 watts, depending on your equipment, that you'll get out of the Pixel 9. So yeah, pros and cons. I haven't got a Pixel 10. I guess some of that will be shifted with some of the new things that come along with the Pixel 10. But at the moment, I think that the two phones, the Pixel 9 and the Honor 400 Pro, are coming out with ups and downs, pros and cons, and yeah, they're very different, but actually I think that they're kind of somewhere in the same place in my tiny brain. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'd find it hard to pick between them. It depends what you favour, I guess. Like, do you favour the extra storage and the 200 megapixel main camera, mm-hmm. the brighter screen, or do you favour slightly better speakers? Better build, yeah. That's the OS updates, yeah. Now playing it is great, I love it. So yeah, it's hard to pick, isn't it? They've got really both got really good things going for them.
They certainly have. I think the if I had to pick one feature that kept me on one or the other, it would be the OS updates on the Pixel. They're just they seem to have a huge waiting for me in terms of a feature better than the other one. So
anyway. Yeah, it's certainly something I think Honor needs to do better with, because I mean my 7 Pro hasn't got the Magic OS 10 yet, and that's like this year's flagship that came out start of the year, so it's not great, is it?
No. That's right, and that's something that Pixel do really well. Google does very well with Pixels, I should say. Right, let's head for Photo of the Week now, unless you've got anything else you wanted to talk about with phones.
No, well, I mean, we're going to get again next week with Steve, aren't we? So
we are,
Yeah, so I'll save some for that.
Okay. I picked a photo of the week using the X-Pan thing that you particularly like, and I think we all like. Scroby Sands is a photograph taken by Ian Bundy using his Oppo Find X9 Pro, and it's a bunch of those windmill turbine thingies along a horizon. In the foreground, we've got a grass field by the look of it, and I wouldn't be surprised if the line going across the middle might be a railway line, but it could be a breaker of some sort. But just above that, there's a line of these turbines, which actually people complain about these turbines, but actually I think they're quite an interesting thing to have on the landscape. And then a really angry sky behind it, which is really interesting to look at too. And I thought that the whole image just kind of sat together, particularly with that wide, very, very wide X-Pan aspect. Any thoughts?
Yeah, and I really like it, especially like it looks like it's going to be very stormy and windy, which is what the turbines are all about, right?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting picture for that aspect to do. Mm-hmm. I do love X-Pan to get that really wide look, the skyscape and getting that many of the wind turbines in. It's brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. CinemaScope. Yeah. Brought to you by CinemaScope. Right. If you want to join our classifieds group, you're going to have to email me and talk to me about it, because we don't just let any riffraff in. It's a private members group, and we try to control the membership to some degree. So, yeah. There was one thing that I wanted to just highlight in the group today, which is a OnePlus 12R, which is being sold by a very trusted chap called Abas, and it's a 256GB, 16GB version, and the 12R has still got some legs in it. He wants £250 for it, excellent condition, unused accessories. And I was looking it up, and it's going to get Android 17 as well. It's just got Android 16, and he says that the new software is really interesting. So I just thought I'd give it a plug. £250 for that. If you want a 13R, let alone a 15R, you've got to pay nearly double that. So £250 is actually quite a bargain. And you get all that OnePlus goodness, including now the new Oxygen version and Android 16. So head across to the group and check that out for, a good bargain, really. And let everyone else go and pay more for the 13R and the 15R.
Oh, yeah. The 12 range is very good from OnePlus. I had two different 12s. So, yeah,
yeah.
Highly rate them. Cool. I've got an iPhone. I'd be surprised. Yeah.
Right.
An iPhone 16 Pro, 128GB silver for £600. It's in excellent condition, 100% battery health, warranty for 6 months still. So, yeah, that's David cool. Knight's got that on there. Right. I think that's a good buy.
Yeah, definitely. There you are. We spoke about iPhones.
Yeah.
at least twice on this phone. I'm sure that we'll speak more about iPhones on next week's show, as you
absolutely
referenced earlier. Steve Litchfield is coming on for the first time since he retired, so it'll be interesting to get him on the Christmas special show. I've no idea what we're going to talk about, but he is an iPhone primarily user. He's also got a second SIM card in the Surface Duo, and also he's trying, he told me, to get hold of a Fairphone 6. So it'll be interesting to see if he manages to get hold of that before next week and has some thoughts on what I said earlier about the Fairphone 6 and the Fairphone 5 and get his take on that. So watch out for that next week. The usual bunch of reminders now. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website where you can get all the links to all the stuff we do. Podhub UK also is where it happens there. TedSalmon.com is where you'll get links to all the other podcasts and all the MeWe groups and all the rest of it. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's MeWe.com. It's not MeWe, is it? It's PayPal. I'll try this again. PayPal.me. Where's it gone? PayPal.me. Oh, there it is. Stand by. PayPal.me/Hickey85. Very confusing.
Yeah.
Do forgive me. That's about it, really. And a plug again for Nomad Tech Project, which was out last night, and I was watching it on my telly as Joe and Sam were having a lovely old chat for an hour and a half, I think it was, nearly. In fact, almost the same length of time as we're doing this show for. So,
yeah.
there's all that.
Maybe too. I'm a bad influence, me.
No, it's been great fun. And as I say, we've covered a lot of the stuff that we needed to mop up, so that's great. And, yeah, if people are not interested, they can skip past the bits that they don't want to. And one of these days, we'll probably get what's it's in the show notes so people know where's what. Have you done that on your YouTube channel yet?
What's that?
You put little what are they called, chapters? No, not chapters.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's something I've been meaning to do on some videos, especially like for example the Nothing OS 4, what's new. Some people might want to skip certain elements.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something I need to look at doing. I don't know how to, if I'm honest. Right. I'll learn.
Yeah. It's a learning time. Thanks ever so much, Joe, for your time, as always. And we'll be back with you next week, next Monday, with our Crimbo special with Steve. So have a good week, everyone, and it's goodbye from me.
Always a pleasure. I'll play with my Pro Max for a little bit, I guess.
Cool.
Goodbye from me.